I want to read with you in the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, a little book that I've been enjoying lately. Tremendous little book. Just go to the back of your Bible if you want. Just before Haggai is Zephaniah, just after Habakkuk. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse number 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. Now notice the six I wills. God is saying, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of Shemrens with the priest. Not a very bright picture, a very bleak picture of the condition of the nation at this time. And from there, without going through chapter 2, it's going down, down, the different things that they are doing. However, come to chapter 3, and we start going just a little the other way after we get into the first part of it, and verses, chapter 3, verse 3, her princes within her are roaring lions, the judges are evening wolves, they gnaw not the bones till the morrow, her prophets are light and treacherous persons, her priests have polluted the sanctuary, they have done violence to the law, the just Lord is in the midst thereof, he will not do iniquity, every morning doth he bring his judgment to the light, he faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Now, over to the latter part of the chapter, I realize that this has a prophetic setting in a day to come, if you like, the day of the Lord. But I want to notice here, verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted, a poor people. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. Notice who it is that will trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Now verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away the judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save thee. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing, and so on. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee to whom the reproach of war was a burden. Verse 19, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that hateth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have put to shame. I will, at that time, I will bring you again, even in the midst, and I will gather you, for I will make you a name and the praise among all the people when I turn back your captivity before your eyes. Verse 17 is my verse. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice in thee. He, that is God, will joy over thee with singing. Now, I don't know if you really knew that God sings, but he does. Zephaniah tells us that. There's very little in the nation, very little in the people of God, whether it was Judah or whether Israel, there was very little that would cause God to sing. Now, I look at my life as you must look at yours and say, what is there in my life that would really cause God to sing? What is there that would really make him happy? We talk about pleasing the Lord, and that's true. We live in a world that is pleasing itself, and that can be very easily carried into our lives as believers. But I would like to leave a little message with you today that I trust has spoken to my own heart, and it is this. I want in my life God to be able to sing. Sad to say, we go down through the Bible, and we find that Our foreparents grieved him. During the antediluvian age, repented that he had made man, they grieved him. Go to the nations and they grieved him. Go to the kings and they grieved him. Some of the prophets and they grieved him. At the very best, even David, there was a time when he grieved God. And there's been times when I have grieved God, you have grieved God. But if we could just somehow get refocused, realigned, and that's the point of a conference and coming together, is just set it back, roll it back to zero, and just say, from here on, I want to live my life that is pleasing to God and that God can actually sing. He says, I will sing over them. You see, the first generation of people is original conviction. The first generation. When we come to the second generation, it's kind of obligation. You know, I do it because they did it. And then when we come to the third generation, it's kind of opinion calculation. That's my generation, third generation. When you come to the fourth generation, it's objection at consummation. So it is not going up. It's going down with the different generations. And that's what Zephaniah is bringing out here. How these people had so disobeyed him, had so grieved him. They would seek after Baal, and worse than that, go after Moloch, which was the worst of the gods that were amongst them that they worshiped. But finally, he brings them back around. And in chapter 3, thank God for chapter 3, to put a happy note on the end of it, he said, I will, 6 times. In other words, God will bring back just what we have lost. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's not kid ourselves. Maybe we have lost ground. Maybe we have lost ground as assemblies. Maybe we've lost ground as preachers. I think when I came to this conference 50 years ago, the men who I tried to work with and what they taught us stands us in good stead to this day. Can I pass that on to a coming generation? Am I going to weaken the hands of a coming generation, or am I going to strengthen them? Zephaniah says the secret to that is to be able to know the Lord and to do his will. So whether it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, the nation, or Levi, if you want to bring Kohath, Aaron, or Moses, he says, I will visit the iniquity unto the fourth generation. So there is a generation to come, if the Lord be not come. And I'd like to speak to that generation, just as our brethren have already at this conference, that will arm and fit you in a world that is totally upside down, that totally its culture of our world is anti-Christian. Everything, doesn't matter what it is, That's just the name of the game. That's just the world that we unfortunately live in. So the judgment falls, and he tells us, it falls on the Philistines. That was to the west. It fell. None could stop it. Moab, that was to the east. Judgment fell. Ethiopia was to the south. Judgment fell. And Assyria was to the north. Great Assyria. The fear of many, it fell. It was too much for him. Too much for him. Brethren and sisters, we don't want the judgment of God amongst us. We don't want things to happen because of our disobedience, because of the worship of self. But we want to do things that will make God sing. In other words, we live in a world that wants to get, you know, they'll say, why am I not happy? What can I do that'll make me happy? You know, can I go on a cruise? I'm not condemning your cruises or anything like that. It's just not my cup of tea. But the kids took us on one time, and that was fine. That did the job. But the best cruise I was on, I told the kids, they said, can you not take Mom on a cruise? I says, I'm taking her on two of them. I said, two? Isn't that? Well, good for you, Dad. Big change, eh? Huh? First one's going to leave from North Sydney, and it's going over Port of Bass. Oh, they said. Where's the second one? Well, I go up the top of Newfoundland, and I says, we go across for the conference. The only time I ever took a trailer up there. And we had two cruises. Well, what's wrong with them? I enjoyed them because I enjoyed what was at the end of the cruise. Okay, it wasn't debt or bills that had been accumulated as such. But my question is this. Ask yourself the question, do I give God something to sing about in my life? Let's go back to the last week. Okay, brethren, sisters, what have you done? What have you been that God could sing about it? Let's go to the other side. Where have you been? Were you in places that you wouldn't even want fellow Christians to know you were there? And you think God would sing about that? Over here on this side, what has there been in your life when God could sing about it? Well, I'll tell you, I think when we gather together to remember his son, and we do it in that spirit of remembrance and thanksgiving, it causes the heart of God to sing. There's that little company. There's all these churches and all these denominations around, and they're going on, carry on, whatever. But there's people gathered to my name, gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? They're not a Christian assembly, although there's Christians in the assembly. I would say we have three Christian assemblies in Sussex, but we have one church of God. Let me quote my good friend, Jim Walmsley. You heard him say it because I know your brethren have told me that more than once. Whenever he had something they wanted you to remember, he cleared his throat. I can see him yet. Brethren, he says, you don't be saying we're like the Baptist. We're not like the Baptist. We are uniquely and distinctly the church of the living God. And we are, brethren. And we are. And it gives him delight to look on this island, to think of a work that has been done in a former day. And brings joy to his heart. Whatever you do, young brother, whatever you do, remember, you are not in God's assembly as an innovator. You are there as a reformer. It's not introducing new things. Well, that's the way the old brother did it. They didn't know better. Now, away with that nonsense. That won't cause God to say. So my point is as we gather, and whatever effort it takes, you've been working, whatever, I realize sometimes you have to work, you can't make it. And even any of the meetings of the assembly, are you going to tell me there's meetings that God doesn't look down upon and causes them to sing? Sure it does. Nice to be able to sing. I think that Brother Neal has encouraged you. If I was grading your singing, I think you've come from about a five up to a six or seven, maybe. I think you'd go a little better yet, okay? Not as bad as one assembly I was in. It was a good size. Brethren, I said, can you do something with the singing? We're running about a four. Ramp it up. I've seldom sit with my back to an audience. When I'm preaching the gospel, I want to know who's there and where they are. And when I'm in ministry like this, I want to know who they are, where they're sitting. Are they singing? Come on, we're singing together. And some of you are standing there looking like you've just been shot. Not at all. That world out there is nothing to sing about. God doesn't sing and get joy about what happens in the world, but to his people, to his company, that he has rescued, that he has redeemed. There's great singing. Nice to be able to sing. I was in Oshawa. They invited me to their conference back a while ago. Sorry, it wasn't at their conference. It was when I took Mr. Larry Steer's funeral. I went to Oshawa, and wow. I didn't like to turn around and look at him. This boy behind me could sing. He'd sing, he ran on the table. He could sing. So I turned around and I said, excuse me. I just introduced myself to him. I said, I enjoyed your singing. Well, he says, for your information, my middle name is McCandless. Oh, I said, that did it. I knew what caused you to be able to sing like that. Quit laughing. So he said to me, I'm going to tell you something about my singing. It got me away from the Lord. It did. How would your singing get you away from the Lord? Well, I got an invitation to go down to Tennessee, and I joined the Nylons. Anybody that knows anything about singing knows the Nylons were a singing group that were to join the Gaither Band on a cruise to Alaska. They took off in an aircraft down in the northeastern United States, got into altitude, likely got into ice. I don't know. It was totally loaded, full fuel, everything else. Crashed, killed them all. He stayed in their home. What he was interested in is what I think caused the crash. Well, you'd have to go to NTSB and kind of read about it yourself. But here's what he said. He said, I realized that that's not where I can sing. That's not what God gave me any singing ability for. He says, he gave me a little talent I have. Singing is not a gift. It's a talent. He gave it to me so I could join and sing with God's people. Isn't that lovely? I think that's sweet. I shook his hand again. I said, God bless you, dear brother. Come back, took a job at Canadian Tire Store, I think, working as a mechanic. But he saw the value of that. That's what will give God joy and give God something to sing about. But there's nothing to sing about in this passage till you get to chapter 3 and about verse number 8. So how many chapters or verses have there been in my life where there's no singing by God? No singing. But listen, it isn't, I don't want to speak irreverently, speaking of God recovering his song. But brother, would you like to go from this conference with God to sing just a little bit more about you and your life? And just the way that you function? He can. He's willing to do it. It says it. I read the verse right to you there. Rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. God indeed will do it. But more than that, they couldn't sing too much at Corinth. No, there's too many problems there at Corinth. Later in the epistle, the apostle starts to praise them. The song is recovered, and I believe God was singing. It's interesting when you go through the Gospels, after the institution of the Lord's Supper, it says they went out and they sang a hymn. But you don't have them singing a hymn in Luke's Gospel. How come Luke omits the singing of the hymn? Well, read a little further. There's a strife among them. Is there a strife where you are? Are you the cause of that strife, brother? That won't cause God to sing. Some here from Fredericton, which we appreciate very much. Not a big company. But my wife and I try to go there weekly. And when we go there, not once has she ever said to me, or have I ever said to her, "That's a long way. Sorry we went." No, we came home joyfully. We came home with a song. Do you know why? We caught it off them. Something to sing about. But this nation here, no. They were singing about themselves. And, you know, we think, well, our happiness is important. So is God's. Would you want to spend an eternity with an unhappy God? I don't think so. I think the song leader, as they sung when he sang with them, was the Lord himself. My, to wait till that day when the great song leader will raise that heavenly anthem and we will sing unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sin in his blood. What a day is coming. But in the meantime, we can become that on earth, okay? It's not that our singing is going to make God sing. It's just our behavior, our manner of life. That's exactly what was wrong with these people here. So it's the will of the people, okay? That's the first six, I will, God says. I will. He's going against the will of the people as an enforcer. He says, I will. God says, I'll bring them to naught. I will deal with them. I will smite them in the corners of the earth. But when we come to the last, I will, it's an encouragement. You know what has crept in amongst these people? What can creep in amongst us? A very toxic attitude. Just an attitude of, I don't think they're right. I don't know why I go. Let me ask you today, how's your attitude toward the gathered company of God's people that are so precious to him that he sings over? It was the one that would cause you to sing, has caused him to sing as well. It is, because he sings over them. I'm just thankful, like I say, when it comes over this. So a great part of God's glory, my point is this, a great part of God's glory is his happiness. Because the psalmist said clearly, he's a God that is happy. Not a God that's vindictive and stern. And he's a God that is full of justice. Read the chapter. Read the prophet here. He says, God is just. He's gracious and he's faithful. And on top of that, the glory of the happy God. You know, this is coming at a very critical time. I'm not sure if I've got the dates right. Not everybody agrees on it, but it's somewhere during the reign of Josiah. Josiah was a time of great reformation. But you know, that reformation only lasted months. Those people sang. My, as the things were introduced and brought back. But not everybody had the same thing as Josiah did. It took one generation, 17 years, you wouldn't have known the place. Brethren and sisters, there's places where I broke bread. Places I visited years ago. They don't even exist anymore. They're gone. Don't think for a minute that God preserves and holds it together because we got the name on the building. Not at all. It is that company that constitutes that local church that is determined that we are going to live for God and we're going to put the things of God in our lives first and give God something that he could think about. See, in that same, just after that, after Josiah, remember you've got Jehoiakim. The word of the Lord from Jeremiah is found and it went into force. Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord from Jeremiah came to him and it went into the fire. Just took a penknife, cut it up, threw it in the fire. Didn't want it. Didn't want to hear about it. Didn't want to open this book. I had a very interesting experience this week back home. A fairly successful businessman invited me to a Bible reading that they have. I said, sure, I'd be glad to come. Well, I took my Bible, and to speak respectfully, all of them carried a Bible too. All of them, all 10 men. Went into the man's house. I felt a little like the elephant in the room for a while till they settled down because I was just there kind of to hear them. Started chatting. We were in 1 John chapter 2 about the world, loving the world, and so on and so on. And I did say to the man that owns the house, I said, listen, you realize businesses meet in this house because you're the president of the company. Your sons are in the company too, and they meet here. Family members meet here. Do you know that this is the most important meeting that ever takes place in this house on Bryant Drive, just up the street from me, is when 10 men come together and they open their Bible. They commence with prayer. They close with prayer. And a lot of their, I know there's some church filler in there, but I'll tell you what I'd like to do. See how it goes. They invited me back next week, so it couldn't have been too bad. As I'd like to take a week and say, each one of us tell how we got saved. Wouldn't that be nice? I'll start off, I'll tell them how I got saved. And then George over here next week, you tell how you got saved. And you tell how you got saved. That'd be kind of interesting. But my point is this. We're not the only ones that read the Word of God. We're not the only ones that are seeking to serve Him. I believe there are genuine believers among that little company. Now, they go to different churches, I know. I can't support where they're going. They're not making a big issue of it, but at least they're taking time to come together to read the Bible, to have a Bible study. We're not doing it in my house. I only live six houses down the way, but he has a house where you can do that. So God is glorified by that. You see, all the values of the future, are you with me, are found in the past. All the values of the future are found in the past. The Word of God supports that. When they started to leave the teaching of those early ones, my things changed. So when I think of God singing, I think of the heavens that sing, I think of the birds that sing, and I realize they don't sing their fullest note because of sin. They're marked and marred, but I'd never know from my bedroom at likely about 5 o'clock in the morning, there's a bird start singing over here. I don't know what kind of a bird he is. I need to have my friend Jeff Tallman that would tell me what it is. And there's not, he stops, another one starts over here. And it's just kind of a choir all singing together. I come out and start the day, listen to the song of his creation. The morning, Job says the morning stars, they sang together. And they have proven that there's a song that is sung by creation itself. So if I'm not singing, God has something that is singing. I not say that God looks down on creation and he sings because of their happiness, that they're birds. Nevertheless, he has created them, if you like, for that. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God, they shouted, it says, for joy. But when things changed in 2 Corinthians, I think the song came back. There's joy. So maybe I'm speaking to some and you're burdened about things that are legitimately wrong where you go. What are you to do? Hard question. I'm not in your situation. I don't need to know it. Do what two sisters I know did. Unbeknown to anybody else, they met in one another's kitchen. Every Tuesday morning they prayed and they asked God to preserve this testimony. Don't let it go. God answered their prayer. The one that was objecting and making the problem was taken home to heaven. Can't fool with God, brethren, sisters. I've stood at enough early graves of believers to realize that we're not our own. I'm not trying to scare you or put fear into you, but so let it be in our heart. Because if my spiritual condition is happy that I can sing as we've been doing here, then God for sure could look down upon us and he sings as his people, like as they have come together. God's joy might be used in us and our joy might be full. That was the desire, of course, of the apostle when he spoke of that. So my God encourages just as his people. I haven't taken time to read it all, give you all the answers to the I wills. I could do that. I just want to leave with you a little word of encouragement, not only for your own singing, but live your life so God can sing too.